This episode of Where Did the Road Go is brought to you in part by our Patreons. In particular, this month is being sponsored by Lindsay Marie Tribette and Nick Martin. I thank you both so very much. And if you want to become a patron, you can do so at www.wheredidtheroadgo.com. And now our show.
Transmission start. Welcome to Where Did the Road Go? Join us as we wander off the path and explore lost history, consciousness, the paranormal, unexplained mysteries, alternative thought, and much more. We are present on the web at wheredidtheroadgo.com. Now here is your host, Soraya.
Welcome to this listener stories edition of Where Did the Road Go? And I am joined by Ren Collier.
Hey, everyone.
And Adam Sane of Conspiranormal.
Yo, what's up?
All right, so I'm going to jump. I guess this one's not as old as I thought it was. So, Ren, remember when we did a series of shows on anomalous lights?
Yes.
This was one of the emails I got from it and never followed up because things just got crazy and everything got buried. Cool. So this one's pretty interesting. It's from mid-2018, so only a year ago. I thought this was older, so I don't feel quite as bad.
It was like last summer.
And it says, back in the summer of 2015, a friend and I went to Pensacola Beach to camp for the weekend. We camped back in the pines, the Gulf Islands National Seashore. A ranger had told us about the bioluminescent algae that can be seen at the water at night, so we headed down to the beach after dark to stargaze and check out these algae. They look like glitter in the water. Pretty cool. After spending some time stargazing and counting satellites, we noticed roughly a dozen lights down on the beach. They were small, round, white lights that hovered in the air and made no sound that we could hear. Occasionally, some would go out or more would appear, and sometimes a few would seem to turn in our direction and shine brighter. We wondered what they were, theorizing first that people were walking down the beach wearing headlamps. Biologists checking for nesting sea turtles was a possibility at that time of the year. But the lights never got closer, and they didn't move in a way that a headlamp would if someone were walking or looking around. They also seemed too high in the air to be headlamps unless Florida's average biologist is 12 foot or more. My friend suggested that maybe people were flying kites with lights on them. Neither of us knew if this was really a thing that people did, but we didn't have any other answers. I have since looked up lighted kites, and they have all been brightly lit with many colors and flown in such a way that you can definitely tell it's a kite. I have not found any images or photos of a kite with a single white light. We thought maybe they were street lights at the parking area further up the beach, but they seemed much too close and too small for that, not to mention they looked like they were out over the water a bit, not far back toward the road. We walked down the beach a ways to see if we can get a better look, but after walking for a while and not seeming to get any closer to them, we decided to turn back to camp. It was late, about 2 a.m. We were tired, and having spent more than an hour checking in on these lights during our stargazing, we felt more and more that none of our theories really fit. We never ran into anyone else on the beach that night. While driving out the next morning, we passed the parking area further up the road and both agreed that the lights we saw the night before were not the street lights in the parking area. How could the parking area's lights turn this way and that anyway? We still don't know what we saw. We never felt threatened, but we definitely felt compelled to keep looking down the beach to check on these things the whole time we were out there. We did not see anything in the daylight that would explain them. Nothing else weird happened that night, though if we had gone down to the old Civil War fort with a voice recorder at night, I might have more stories for you. We both agreed once night had fallen that we didn't have the balls for that. So that definitely sounds like some kind of anomalous light phenomena.
Yeah, it's very will-o'-the-wispy.
Yeah.
Not too far from there is Gulf Breeze.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not far from Pensacola Beach. In fact, it's just like 10 minutes from Pensacola.
I what's especially telling is when he said they walked down the beach toward it, but didn't seem to get any closer. I mean, that's very will-o'-wisp sort of behavior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it sort of wonder if it could have been, they mentioned that something, it was on, like it was out on the water, maybe? Mm-hmm.
A little bit,
so,
yeah.
So I was thinking maybe it could have been like buoys or something, like lighted buoys that were, because maybe that would explain why they would sometimes get brighter, like they were kind of bobbing in the waves and would sometimes shine straight at them. But I feel like you'd hear them, you know, because usually buoys have some sort of noise on them.
Right. They also They also said, like, if they were on a person, the person would have to be over 12 feet high.
Yeah.
So that's pretty high for a buoy.
Or is Bigfoot's wearing headlamps?
Ooh, there you go. Speaking of lights, we went out to, I think I briefly mentioned this at the beginning of the, I'm losing my voice, at the Lewis Proud show. We went out to Site 7 a couple of weeks ago, me, Tim, and Joshua. Mm-hmm. And we all picked up anomalous lights, but nothing like what Tim was getting the first few times he went down out there.
And what, I don't what sort know, of lights were you seeing?
Almost, they almost looked like different colors of fireflies, but there were no fireflies. And fireflies tend to go on and then go out and then come back on, whereas these would just be glints of light. Mm-hmm. We all definitely saw them, but they weren't like what Tim was seeing initially was fairly consistent. Mm-hmm. And both times I've gone, like the last time I went out there, the first time I went out there, there was no, there were no lights, but there was also no sound. The second time with Josh, you know, the sound was normal and we were getting little lights, but not anything like what Tim was, had experienced the first couple times he went out there.
Yeah. So I mean, I do want you to know that when listening to that episode with, where you guys were recording the different noises, when that like Cody went crazy, or a fox or whatever it was, it like really gave me a heart attack. I was like, what was that noise? It was so scary.
Because it was so quiet for so long, and then suddenly that thing shrieks and it's only like 20 feet away from us.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy.
And I don't know if it was on that or not, but I had said right before that happened, maybe it's just scared of me. And then it does that, and I'm like, okay.
Did you guys mention that hum? That it's on the audio.
Yeah, I know. Like, Tim didn't hear it. I was hurting my ears.
Yeah, like I could hear it. It was just like, it sounded like someone who was playing like Sun or something in the background.
Yeah, yeah. And then a plane went over and the hum went away. And I'm like, could that have been the plane the whole time? That's
like a long hum. Reflecting off the ground or something in a weird way.
But it went on for a while.
Yeah.
And it was very consistent, at least what I heard of it. Tim could hear it in the recording, but when we were there, I said to him, what's that hum? And he's like, I don't hear anything. And I'm like, huh. All right.
Yeah. I definitely heard it. And I was, like, why can't Tim hear that? Because it sounded, I've been listening to a lot of like doom metal lately, and it sounded just like a doom metal riff or something. It's just like, boom, like in the background. I was like, I actually like checked my phone to make sure that I wasn't like playing some music with it. Cause I was like, that
sounds like Sun.
Yeah.
When you recorded it, were you wearing like headphones or earphones, Soraya? Did you have like a piece in? So you just heard this like with your ears, not through the camera or whatever.
Yeah, I just heard it.
And Tim did not. Yeah. Nope. Well, you know, that's kind of interesting because like I've always been able, well, not now that TVs are different, but when I was a kid, I could always tell when a TV was on in the room.
Oh yeah.
Because I could hear like this little high pitched squeal, or you get this feeling. I guess people are just you definitely are sensitive to all kinds of energies, but you know, it's probably simple that Tim may not be as sensitive to it.
I have fairly good hearing, especially in the high and low ranges.
Yeah.
You know, so like that was very low, you know, like that might be why Tim couldn't hear it. I mean, despite being, you know, someone who's been to a lot of metal shows, fairly early on, I started wearing earplugs. Mm-hmm. Because I went to a Skid Row show once before they were a big band, right before they hit it huge, actually. It was in a small club, and it was very, very loud. And when I came out, we went to a convenience store, and I couldn't hear the girl talking behind the counter. And I was like, whoa, okay, that's way worse than it's ever been. And the next day, when I cleaned my ears, there was dried blood in my ears.
Ugh.
And I said, you know what? I'm wearing earplugs from now on. I like being able to hear.
Sebastian Bach blew out your eardrums.
Yes. So it wasn't Motorhead. It was Skid Row.
Yeah. I had that happen to me exactly one time when I went and saw Guitar Wolf. And after I've worn earplugs ever since because I couldn't hear for 2 days. Just like completely deaf.
Yep. Yeah. That's scary. It really is. Yeah. So I'm assuming the shows I went to prior to that, I was probably young enough where the hearing regenerated enough. I don't know. I mean, because once your hearing starts getting damaged, it's damaged. There's not, you know, you don't really recover it.
Right.
But they, was it, yeah, I think it was in the patron episode we did with Josh and Tim, whose name I just blanked on for a moment. I don't know if we talked about it there or if we just talked about it when I was down there. When I was walking back from my mechanics one night, I kept seeing these lights on the side of the road, and they were like on the ground. And I was going, what is that? And I'd go over and I'd turn and I could see it very distinctly. And I'd go over and I'd hit it with the flashlight on my phone, and there was absolutely nothing there. And then when I turned the flashlight off, the light was gone. And then I'd walk, and it was always on the same side of the road. And I'd get a little further up and I'd see a glint of light on the road. And I kind of like stop, stare at it. Yep, that's definitely there. And I'd go over and I'd hit the light when I was right next to it, and there's nothing there. And then the light didn't come back. And I'm like, what is going on?
It wasn't like little insects or anything?
No, there was nothing there because it was on the road itself. It's not like it was in the grass.
Yeah, that's really strange. Yeah, so, these things with these lights, like, see, that this is exactly how I'm going to die, because like you hear all these stories of people seeing these weird lights. And if I am in the woods and I see weird lights, I'm going to run to them.
Yes. Yeah,
because exactly. I'm not going to be like, well, I don't know, they were weird. And then I, you know, we got bored and left. I'm going to be like, I'm going to figure out what the lights are. And that's exactly what all the folklore tells you not to do.
Yes.
So,
yep.
That's going to be the end of me. I know I'm just going to get, I'm going to get spirited off the ferry or something. You'll never see me again.
Or shocked by a ball of plasma.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I get like Travis Walton'd.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's see. This one comes from Vanessa Kindle. And she says, I've seen one of those shadow things you mentioned seeing. I was driving home from my dad's place. He lives kind of on the edge of between suburbia and the country, so the houses are kind of spread out and there are no streetlights. I turned around a corner and I saw an impossibly dark shadow glide down from the neighbor's roof, bounce off the ground, and then vanish into a tree. I thought at first it might have been a bird or a bat, but at that distance I should have been able to see more of its shadow if it was. I considered maybe it was a trick of the light caused by my headlights, but I've driven down that road many times before and since and never saw anything like that. Also, there's nothing there that that could have created the shadow in any way for the shadow to shoot up a tree since it's a flat road, so my headlights are pretty stable. I shrugged my shoulders and kept on driving and decided it was yet another weird thing I've seen. To this day, I have no idea what it could be, though I've since found out my sister-in-law saw a shadow person around the same area a few years earlier. I should add that it was about the size, what she saw was about the size of a medium dog. If it was a bird, it was the biggest bird I've ever seen. So, yeah, I've seen stuff similar to that.
I've never seen anything like that in waking life, but I had a friend once who she said that she saw something very similar to that sitting on a church roof one time. Like kind of like getting late at night. And it was like this, it's almost like it was crawling on its belly. Like it was like laying flat sort of on the slope of a roof. And then it sort of like scrambled down to the ground and like crawled off like on its belly.
I never want to go outside again. Jeez, guys.
I mean, yeah, like the light can do weird things. Like shadows can do weird things when you're shining sure. bright lights at night. And
right.
It could totally be just like, you know, a shadow got cast in a weird way that looked like something, because human eyes are trained to sense that sort of movement and to sort of see monsters where there aren't. But
optical illusion.
Yeah. But then again, like, you know, sometimes people see. It's interesting that she was driving, too, because I've been thinking about this a lot lately, about how much like people see things when they're driving or when they're on boats or when they're, it's like travel has something to do with it. Like going from point A to point B and being in that, I mean, like, you know, this would be like a Jeff Ritzman thing, that liminal state, right? You're between here and there. And that's where things happen.
It's funny you say that as I was reading Jeff Ritzman's name.
There you go. Nice little synchronicity there.
So go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I've thought recently about the idea that like road hypnosis could play a part into putting people in an altered state that opens them up to experiences.
That's possible.
Lately, yeah. I've found that like I've been able to better control or like induce my out of body experiences by basically like hypnotizing myself in a similar way to road hypnosis, where I like get really sleepy and try to read a book. And then, you know, I get so sleepy that like I sort of fall asleep reading the page, but then I wake back up and try to keep reading some more. And I keep doing that until I literally just like can't stand it and I'm about to pass out. And then I'll lay down and sort of, it'll usually induce sleep paralysis and then out of body experience.
What's great is when you're reading with a Kindle and you fall asleep and you drop the Kindle on your head. That's really fun.
I've done that with books. I haven't done it with Kindle before.
Yeah, it kind of hurts.
I've also, if I read before I go to sleep, I'll then dream that I'm reading more of the book.
Never done that. That's a new one on me.
I have this weird like driving experience that I don't think I've ever told before, that my girlfriend doesn't believe me that it happened, and she was in the car with me, and I really don't even know how to explain. It's almost like a Mandela effect kind of thing. Where when we were moving back to Atlanta from Minneapolis, the first time I moved back to the South, like we drove back and, you know, I'd been on the road for like 13 hours. It was really, really tired. And we were like in the last little stretch, we were pulling up to like her parents' house, and they sort of live over next to like this golf course. It's like a little suburban area. So there's like, you know, lots of houses and little streets and stuff. And we were turning the street, and I have this distinct memory of like sort of being half awake, half asleep, totally exhausted behind the wheel. And there's like something in the road, and it, in my mind's eye, in my memory, I remember this as being like a completely white, like albino deer, with like red eyes and everything, sort of like an albino, but it having like incredibly big horns and like antlers, like just like, you know, like hundreds of little antlers coming off of its head, and it almost feeling like it had like feathers or something come off its fur. It was like this very weird mental image I have, and according to her, like we never saw anything like that. Like, you know, we there was nothing like that. You know, we didn't stop. It was completely normal. So I don't know where this memory comes from of seeing this like weird albino deer in the road. But it's, I mean, like I've got the mental image in my head. It's very strong. I don't know if I just made it up. Maybe I saw it in a dream or something. I have no idea. You know,
I had an experience like that in real life. You heard me talk about it, because I was taking my girlfriend home. This would have been like 96 or 97. Mm-hmm. And I go around the corner from my house, going around another corner. And standing at the edge of the corner is this giant, well, not even giant. It was just this very tall white albino deer with huge horns on it.
What?
It did not look real. It looked like a statue. And we both kind of looked at it and went, what? And then it ran out in front of me. And I was only doing like 40. So I slammed on the brakes.
Yeah.
And I just barely tapped it. And when I tapped it, it fell onto the hood. And it just kind of stared at us for a few seconds. And then it got back up and it ran off into the woods. And I went, well, that happened.
I've never heard you tell that story. You've got to be kidding me. That's like literally, because it seemed like unearthly looking, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like the one I saw, it was like, it didn't look like part of my brain was like, that's not a deer. Like it's something else.
She took it as a bad omen. I remember that.
Weird.
You know, that sounds like something that's like highly symbolic, but I can't really put my finger on it.
Yeah.
What something like that means. And you know, that's the other thing, you know, what Mike Cleland talks about all the time is he said that, you know, somebody needs to write the deer book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've had a number of weird deer experiences. There was one point I had gone way out into the fields behind my house, and I had done this entire ritual, and I was not quiet about it because there's no one around. And as soon as I broke the circle, I heard this hiss, and I jumped for where I had left the light. This is like, you know, 2 a.m. or whatever. And I turned the light on. There's a deer standing there staring at me. And I'm like, okay, why would you have just walked up to me?
Weird.
It's like when I was in the circle, it just didn't know I was there, or some kind of response to something. I don't know. They don't just walk up to you when you're making noise, you know?
Yeah, no, they run away.
They're very skittish.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this thing, and I thought it was going to charge me, and then it ran off, and I went, okay, that was scary.
This is really blowing my mind, Soraya, that you've apparently seen the same weird, like albino deer that I've seen. And apparently under similar circumstances, except my girlfriend didn't see it. Like, she claims it never even happened. Like it's, you know, like I have no idea. It's almost like a false memory for me.
Yeah. I got to go back. Part of what has paused me writing my book is people like Jeff Ritzman and stuff talking about, you know, how when things happen in your life. So now I've started going back through everything to look at the bigger picture around some of these events. And I haven't gotten to that one yet. But I want to see what was happening around that. I know like the next night or something, I was going to an ECW show in either Buffalo or Rochester. And she was going, "You shouldn't go. Something bad's going to happen." And I went, nothing bad happened. But she really took it as a bad sign. And I was like, I don't think it's a bad sign.
Yeah. I mean, in my case, it was definitely sort of a liminal state because I was moving completely across the country.
Yeah.
And it was like the very last leg of that move. So.
And it's just one of those things where I never took it as something paranormal, but it was definitely surreal.
Yeah. That's the thing with me. It's like, I mean, aside from the fact that like it apparently didn't happen.
Right.
Like in my memory, I remember looking at this thing and just being completely, it was like I was looking at a spirit or something. Like it reminds me of like a bit of like Spirited Away, like when she sees the forest spirit. That's what it reminded me of, like this unearthly looking thing, like whatever it was, because it you know, it was like kind of had the form of a deer, but it's like horns were not like any deer I've ever seen. It was
this looked like deer horns. I mean, these were, but they were very big horns. I mean, they were, it was a huge rack on this thing.
It kind of seems like, Ren, that you were meant to see that for some reason.
Yeah, or the memory was implanted in me for some reason. If I didn't actually see it, then I don't know. I don't know why the memory of it's so strong.
It would be interesting to see if anyone else has any of these white albino deer stories.
Yeah.
Well, we may have found our flannel man.
Well, to be fair, there are white albino deer in what used to be the Seneca Army Depot about 20 minutes away. They imported them there, and every once in a while one would get out, even though it was all fenced in. So occasionally you'd see white deer outside, very, very rarely though.
Yeah.
So it's possible that it came from there and just ended up in this area. So it's not completely out of place here, I guess is what I'm saying. All right. So I mentioned Jeff Ritzman because this next story starts off talking about Paratopia. He says, this is from John, and he says, "I've discussed this event on Paratopia," which is Jeff Ritzman, Jeremy Vaney's older podcast. And he said, "I'd like to share it with your listeners in case there's someone who might have experienced the same or similar thing." Thing is a good word for this. "When I was 5 years old in 1964, I got up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, which was upstairs. While climbing the stairs, I was aware of a buzzing sound, which got louder as I got to the bathroom. I didn't see anything initially, but the buzzing, or a kind of crackling noise, which I thought might be the fluorescent light we had on the bathroom ceiling, though it never made that kind of noise before or since that I remembered, After finishing my business, I turned to leave, but something made me turn, to which I saw..." Oh man, this is written in a weird way. I'm sorry. "I turned to leave, but something made me turn, to which I saw this, what I can only describe as an amorphous blob or dark spot, a negative space or something, jumping back and forth between the windowsill and the tank top of the toilet. As I focused on it, it seemed to morph into, of all things, an elf. Looking back, I believe my brain was scrambling, trying to make sense of what I was seeing, and I came up with something I had read in a storybook. I had read the little golden book, The Elves and the Shoemaker. And after this experience, I took the book and placed it on the slates of the steps of our wooden front porch, as I didn't find it entertaining anymore. Though in hindsight, it seemed the logical thing to do to block it out. It was still creepier and unnerving to me, especially its movements, which reminded me of those 1960s shows using puppets, aka Supercar, Stingray, etc., which you can check out on YouTube, but moving extremely herky-jerky and fast. When I was finally able to say something, I blurted out, 'Where are you from?' It stopped moving, turned, looked at me, which truly freaked me out. Then whatever it was pointed to the toilet. I know it sounds totally far-fetched and absurd, but this was the impression I got. Also, that it wanted me to go with it. Outlandish as it sounds, not to mention impractical. I flatly stated no. I turned to get out of there, and the next thing I know, I was waking up on the bathroom floor. I ran back downstairs and jumped back into bed. I didn't tell anyone about this, but I was very afraid to use the bathroom for a few nights and actually asked one of my brothers to escort me to the bathroom, which they did once, but then said, "What's wrong with you? And you're on your own." This fear lasted for a week or two, then faded from my memory, especially once I took the book of the elves and put it on the slates in the front porch, thinking I don't want this anymore. For almost 30 years, I had forgotten this until I was listening to a late night radio show in the 1990s, Jeff Rentz, till he went off the rails, in my opinion, like Alex Jones. Anyway, he had Brad Steiger on, and they were discussing a survey him and his wife had created for people who had unusual experiences. Brad stated yes, and some people reported seeing elves and fairies. When I heard him mention that, I literally got up off the couch and started pacing the floor and repeating to myself out loud, "That didn't happen. That did not happen." After I calmed down a bit, I sat back on the couch, shaking my head in disbelief and thinking that did happen. Now, after a couple more decades pondering all this stuff and your excellent podcast, I've come to the conclusion that something did occur, but exactly what is beyond me, and I guess I'll have to accept that. Again, it could have been sleepwalking, though I've never done that as far as I'm aware of, fevered dream, etc., but the impact on me at the time and the recalling of it makes me think otherwise. Wondering what if I had been hooked up to an EEG machine, it would have shown, if anything, or just an objective observer for that matter. Maybe it goes beyond the physical brain and is just from Jung's The Collective, or not. I think this is one of the reasons why I created goofy comics. Sometimes I posted on Paratopia and Radio Mysterioso's Facebook group pages in regards to Toilet Elf, as it makes it a little less disturbing to me and not to give it too much power, if that makes sense. I know others have had a much lot more weirder and disturbing experiences than I have. So that's
Toilet Elf.
Toilet Elf. But I mean, you got the buzzing, which is a common thing before high strangeness events. And he said it basically was a blob or a dark spot at first, a negative space, before it morphed into something he could understand.
And then he didn't go into the toilet with it. They got mad at him.
Yeah. Go figure.
It made me think of that scene in Ghostbusters. I'm like, Ray, when an elf appears and asks you to go into its toilet, you say yes.
That is a great scene.
Wow. I mean, that, God, what a creepy story.
Especially for a 5-year-old, you know?
Yeah. Jesus. That's something that I would never get over. That is like basically my worst fear when I was a kid, especially seeing stuff in the bathroom.
Really?
Like, I used to be terrified when I would take a shower that like I was going to open the shower curtain and there was going to be like, you know, an alien standing there or something, or there'd be like a monster standing there.
Yeah.
Huh. You too, Adam, huh?
Well, it's kind of like your most vulnerable place if you really want to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Even like, you know, if you're using the bathroom, I mean, you're taking a shower or whatever, like you're naked. And,
you talk about like with this, the last one that we did, where you're talking about waking up and thinking that something is trying to like eat you. I mean, most animals are very vulnerable when they're doing certain things. So, I mean, it is kind of a natural thing. That's always my thing about like when you're like a haunted house and like, you got to go to the bathroom. Like, you know, stuff can happen in there just as easily.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even more so, like they're creepier in some ways.
Right. Exactly.
Was it someone, I think we read a story recently about someone who had a weird experience when they were by a haunted house, like a UFO showed up when someone was peeing outside or something.
You want to see UFO.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't remember. Like, it's vague in my brain. I think it's a story we read.
Reminds me of another story. I can't remember if I heard on your show or not, where someone, when they were a kid, saw, like, a little elf or a dwarf or something looking at them through, like, the stairwell. And it was a while back, so you guys probably don't remember this, but I remember it sticking out, like the mental image of that really stuck out. And it's interesting that he, like, whatever this was, it took the form of this book that he had just read.
Right, but not right away. It took a few seconds.
Yeah, it's almost like it had to look through his archives and see, like, what image is this familiar with.
It's or like, his toilet elf.
Yeah, toilet elf.
Or his brain had to go, what am I seeing? Let's put a face on this.
Yeah.
And elf works because it's not something he ever would have seen anywhere else other than in the book. So it had that sort of magical quality to it.
Yeah, it kind of ties into like you said with that last show where we were talking about the guy who had the sleep paralysis experiences and how he had the possible abduction experience. And we were kind of musing about maybe he didn't see a gray during that because that's not the mental image he had in his head. It is almost like these things, like whatever they are, kind of just take whatever form you're expecting them to take or whatever form they can reach into you and find to use.
Or it's our brain doing it entirely.
That's the other side of the coin. Maybe it's our brain trying to make sense of something by putting a familiar face onto it.
It has no reference point, so it just has to throw something onto it.
Yeah, like the point about negative space is interesting because it's like, if it truly is a negative space, like a lack of information, kind of information has to fill that void.
And even if he's getting actual communication from it, our brain would kind of camouflage that as the thing pointing to the toilet, for instance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, information may not have been accurate, but like it would translate into that imagery.
Yeah. And it has, you know, the kind of faithful overtones to it. Like, you know, this kind of fae thing appearing and wanting to basically, you know, wanting him to go away with it.
Right.
Or go someplace with it. I mean, that's all over faithful kind of literature.
And then he loses consciousness and wakes up on the bathroom floor.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like almost like, was this an abduction experience as well or something?
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's do one more.
All right,
this one is from Chris. And he says, I love your show and have a shadow person story that I saw when I was about 10 to 12 years old. That'd make it about 1980 and 81 in Eastern Kentucky. My dad was a state trooper who worked the midnight shift at this time. My mom and I were in the kitchen when dad came home from work on the early morning, 8 a.m. or so. He said his hellos, etc., and went upstairs to get some sleep. We heard him walk upstairs, and he had an old squeaky mattress. We heard him lay down. It was quiet that morning, meaning no TV, etc. going, just us right below him in the kitchen. After a short amount of time, half hour or so, we heard the mattress, and mom said, I wonder why he's getting back up. We both walked to the doorway that went from the kitchen to the dining room. The stairs went from the dining room to the upper floor to our right against the wall. We saw a shadow person walk down the stairs, then turn left across the dining room. It crossed the room, going through the open doorway into the living room. My mom had the guts to go peek into the living room and said it went into the bedroom, meaning a first floor bedroom off the living room. We both ran upstairs, and there was Dad snoozing away. We got him up and told him what we saw. Dad's first thought was an intruder, so he grabbed his Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum and ran downstairs checking everywhere. Nobody. Anywhere. The windows were locked from the inside still, and the front and back doors were still locked with the manual locks. You couldn't have left the house and locked the slide bar behind you. Needless to say, I didn't sleep very well for a long time in that house. We hadn't seen anything like that before and never saw it again. It appeared to just be what it sounds like. It was a flat black shadow that had the shape of a man, head, torsos, arms, legs. There was no features or even anything that could be considered three-dimensional. It was a shadow that had a definite edge, as if it wasn't a shadow, as it wasn't like a shadow that would fall on objects and fall on those with different angles. This looked like a cardboard cutout of a black shadow that's swung its arms or legs and moved its legs in a normal motion. We rented the house for a few more years until my dad got a new posting in a different country, but we never saw it again. The only other things to have happened in that house was a grandparent spending the night in that same downstairs bedroom got up one night to go to the bathroom, and she swore she saw a little girl wearing a dress in the living room, and she was glowing white. She disappeared and also was never seen again. Lastly, my mom was alone in the kitchen one day. Everybody else was gone and the house locked up. She was peeling potatoes and swore somebody grabbed her with hands on both her shoulders while she was at the sink. When we came home, I still remember my mom sitting outside, and after she told us what happened, we went in and the knife she turned and threw was still sticking in the wall. thanks for reading this. Okay. It's all true and not a bit of creation or imagination. So you almost have to wonder if the shadow person was maybe their dad out of body.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to suggest, that it could have been somebody traveling out of body or somebody having like a dream or something and moving around.
I mean, maybe the reason they heard the mattress is because his spirit left it.
Yeah. It's interesting. The 2D thing is kind of cool, because I feel like a lot of people who have sort of shadow person experiences, like, they still sort of look three-dimensional. They're just like, they're made of shadow. But this is almost like something was casting the shadow, right?
Right.
That they couldn't see.
They said they saw like a little girl.
Yeah.
In white.
Yeah, the lady in white. Yeah, definitely sounds like a haunted
ghosts.
House. Yeah.
Do kid ghosts freak you out, Adam?
That's extraordinarily freaky. And sad at the same time, if you really want to think about it.
I suppose, yeah.
My mom.
I mean, never to sneak up on that guy's mom. I mean,
exactly.
I heard a story growing up. My mom had an experience when, we lived in a house that I would say was more than likely haunted. There was things definitely going on there. I saw something about which I've told you before, but my mom, she saw a little boy in the kitchen, and kind of thinking it was me, she walked up to it and it disappeared right in front of her. That's pretty freaky.
Yeah.
To see something like that.
I mean, had any little boys died in the house though? I mean,
there's no way to know. I don't know if anybody ever did any research on it or not. The house was, at the time that I lived there, was probably around 60 years old.
Okay, so at least it was an older house.
Yeah, it was an older house. So who knows who lived there before my grandparents bought the thing in the 1950s. I have no idea.
Ever since that Riker and Stark show, I keep thinking about this idea that perhaps what we experience as ghosts are more of a time slip kind of thing.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. You know, John Tinney has a story about that, where he talks about how there was an old lady that he was doing an investigation for, and she would see the ghost of children.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, he goes back to check on the house a few years. The old lady has passed away. And it was a couple that had small children, a couple of small children. And the small children would say they would see an old lady. So what John kind of thinks in that is that that's not the spirit of dead people. It's that there's something going on with time, where they're seeing in the same space but different time.
Yeah, it's like time's coexisting, like different right. areas in temporality are like coexisting briefly.
Right. What that could have been. It's very possible. My mom did describe it. She has since described it as being like it was in fairly like old time clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's very possible that's what it could have been. You know,
it also makes me wonder, like, too, if it isn't a time thing, maybe people are seen into like parallel realities, versions of the same place, but just in a different series of events.
I would be curious to know if we are having these experiences where we are seeing people from the past. Are they seeing us and saying, man, I saw something really weird.
Right.
Like this person was in. Just this, they were they were in these weird different clothes that I'd never seen before, and I don't really know what to make of it. I mean, there would have to be some way to like try to look back. Maybe some of the alien stuff too could be something like that.
Well, I had thrown out that idea a long time ago when there was a really good EVP on one of the early Ghost Adventures one. And I've mentioned this before. They were in like a baby furniture store type of thing. And they kept going, is so-and-so here, is so-and-so here. And they got a crystal clear EVP saying, there's no so-and-so here, leave us alone. And all I'm thinking is there's someone in a parallel universe who's hearing this ghostly voice say, is so-and-so here? And they're going, no, leave us alone. We don't know who that is.
Or it's in 1965 or something. You know,
Right. Well, I had a short film that I'll probably never do where the idea would be they're doing this ghost hunt and they do this like ritual in the middle of the ghost hunt and this portal opens up and a knife flies out and hits this girl in the face and kills her. And then like 10 years later, they go back and they're going to, you know, get revenge on this thing. And they bring the knife and they do the ritual again. And this time he throws the knife through the portal that starts opening. And he sees the girl 10 years ago on the other side of the portal.
Time travel stuff is so much fun.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, you know, in that case, where did the knife come from?
Exactly. It's a causal event. And that's what we were talking about before we started the show, about how my theories of magic are turning into this weird sort of like weird interaction that consciousness has with causality. Also, too, I mean, you know, we could possibly test this. I mean, I'm just thinking at the top of my head, but, you know, find some spiritualist or seance group in the past and try to haunt them. Maybe try to go there in an out-of-body experience or something and communicate with them and say, you know, I need you to write all this stuff down in a book. And then we could try to find that book and see if they have our messages in it.
True.
Like, pull a whole like Doctor Who kind of thing on it. But I mean, you know, because that may not be real. I don't know. It's interesting because it's like, is it a one-way street? Or is stuff from the past able to coexist with us now? But are we able to, like, I guess what I'm thinking, like, if you're familiar with like time travel, science fiction, time travel type setups, like the Novikov self-consistency principle, where like paradoxes are actually like impossible to create, because if the paradox would have prevented you from traveling back in time in the first place, then you could have never done it. Like you could have never traveled in the first place. So it could be a situation where if we try to influence something in the past, it won't work because that would have implied that we would have known that. It's like, it becomes a twisty, loopy, timey-wimey thing, but
right.
But basically, like, it's impossible for us to influence the past because it would influence our decision to change things in the future in the very first place.
Unless it's working on a different reality or...
Yeah.
Or that, you know, maybe things aren't as consistent as we think they are.
Yeah. I mean, I think that possibly influencing parallel realities is a thing that could be going on, too, like you said. Yeah. It could be that if you do something like that, well, you create a new timeline in which that book that I put a message to myself in the future in would show up, but it won't show up in my reality. It won't show up in this timeline.
Right. And in the other timeline, you're going, what the hell?
Although, I mean, after that Riker and Stark show, I was thinking about this. You know, he was talking about the story with his gym or his teacher at school that died in his timeline.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, like, what if the life you're living now is like it's your timeline in which you didn't get killed when you were a little kid? Like, what if you're living like your main timeline? Mm. And that like all the other people around you who die, who like get cancer or get in a car accident or something, like that only happens because you're in your timeline and they're like in some other timeline that doesn't happen to them.
Right.
You know, like you're in the timeline right now that you're going to be in until you get old and die of natural causes or something. I don't know.
Maybe we're all in the timeline where we live forever.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a weirdly solipsistic kind of thing to be like, it's almost like quantum immortality or something.
Yeah.
Like, from your perspective, like, because if I think about this and I play with this idea, then I'm sort of like, well, in that means that I'm like the only real thing to myself in the universe, and everything else around me are just parts of this like simulation or whatever that I'm running through right now.
Oh, you too. You too, huh? That's,
yeah.
Well, only one of us can be real, Ren.
Exactly. That's what I mean. You get into this thing where it's like, well, maybe I'm the only real person, but then you think to yourself, like, that's a really like horrible way to look at other people. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're real people in their own slip of reality.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't remember this show. It may have even been a movie, but it was something about somebody trying to go back and change the past. And they were warned by whoever that they were. Somebody warned them that said that if you go back to change the past will do everything it can to fight back because the past doesn't want to be changed. I can't remember what it might have been, a TV show or a movie that I saw about a year or so ago, but it was it was an interesting concept that it was going to do everything it could to like kill you while you were in it because it did not want to be changed.
Yeah, right. That's like taking the Novikov principle to like it's like a weird, almost sentient end. Because in the Novikov principle, it's like it's a pretty simple cause and effect like paradox, because it's like, well, if you go back into the past and kill your dad before he meets your mom, then and you're never born, then how did you travel back into the past to kill your dad?
Right.
You know, because you're removing a cause. Right. So no effect can happen.
Well, unless you would buy into the whole thing about parallel universes, because then you would still exist as a time traveler. But you made a parallel universe in which you killed your dad, but you would still physically exist. You're just from the other parallel, the other universe.
Yeah. And in that case, did you travel back in time, or did you just travel to a parallel world?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's in a different time frame, you know?
Things we may never know.
I think they bring that up in an episode of Sliders, actually. Like they travel to a parallel Earth, but it's like the universe started like a couple years later than their universe. So it's like traveling back into the past.
Yes. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. There's this show on Netflix. That's actually, it's all in Catalan, the language of Catalonia, Barcelona. It's called If I Hadn't Met You, or If I Hadn't Known You, or something like that. It's like a 10 episode series. But they're going into, the main character is going into these different universes. And he's trying to prevent all this tragedy from happening to his wife and to his children. But not all the universes are traveling at the same speed. So he'll end up in a parallel universe, but he'll end up in the past of that parallel universe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that does sound really cool. And what's it called again?
If I Hadn't Met You. If I hadn't known you. Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. It's also interesting because it's in Catalan, which is like this language that no one has ever really heard.
Yeah. My favorite like twisty loopy time story is still, I think it's by's Bootstraps, which is the Heinlein story where the character, which spoilers, so if you don't want me to spoil the big thing, stop listening to this episode or skip ahead like 2 minutes. it turns out the main character
Don't ruin Game of Thrones for me.
it turns out the main character is his own sister, mother, father, grandfather, and like uncle.
Because
he starts out as a woman, I think. Travels back into the past, has like a sex change, becomes like a guy, or he's like intersex or something. I don't really know like how it works in the story. It's been a while since I read it, but he basically gets himself pregnant.
And, oh yes,
And it creates a perfectly, like, you can map it out. Like, you can draw out the whole
loop. What's the name of it?
I think it's Buys Bootstraps is the name of the story. Or maybe it's All You Zombies. It's either All You Zombies or Buys Bootstraps. It's one of the two.
Did they make a movie out of it?
I don't think so. It would make a good movie because it's a really cool, like, story. Because the ultimate question is, like, well, where did this person come from in the first place? Like, they have no origin. You know, they're sort of like a self, self-consistent time loop.
Isn't that a Willie Nelson song, On My Own Grandpa?
Yeah.
All You Zombies was made into Predestination.
Oh, okay, cool. So it is All You Zombies.
Fantastic, yeah.
So I got the name wrong, yeah.
It's a 2014 Australian movie. It was very well done.
Ooh, I got to check that out then, because I love that story.
Predestination?
Yep. So, all right. Well, let's stop there. And I thank both of you. Adam, where can people find you?
Well, as always, they can find me at conspiranormal.com or conspiranormal.podomatic.com or on our Facebook page.
And Ren?
You can find me at liminalroom.com.
No, I meant where can we find Adam?
Oh, we can find Adam at conspiranormal.com.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I'm off being my own grandpa somewhere, so.
And Where Did the Road Go would not be possible without the help of our Patreons, and especially those patrons pledging $10 or more: Allison Cook, Lindsay Marie Trebet, Nick Martin, Super Inframan, UFO Weekly News, Tim, 36 Dingo, Maria, Jennifer Campbell, Mike McGuire, American Rambler, Paul Buscini, Nate Syria, Anthony Sullivan, Kevin, John Rutledge Foster III, Eric Citron, Ben Crow, Janet Runyon, Andy McManera, Sasha Lorg, Matthias Sunby, Christopher Vaughn, Riker and Stark, Robert Groom, Sean Cosgrove, Jose A., Roger Gonzalez, Craig Cicernos, Kevin Schreck, A.E. Gaiaquinta, William Lovelace, Mark Brady, Chris, Ice a Hot Dog a Sandwich, John Eddy, Carla Mahoney, and Chris Johnson. Thank you all so very much.
Come in. Do you read me? Do you understand the numbers pouring over your connection? To perfection. 5, 8, 3. Have you heard the singing soaking into our transmission? 21, 34, 55, 89, 144.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Where Did the Road Go? This show is made possible in part from our Patreons, and we thank you and everyone listening for helping us continue this exploration of the strange. You can always find everything Where Did the Road Go related at www.wheredidtheroadgo.com. And thank you so much for your support.